I'm a grateful believer. I'm an alcoholic who is so grateful to be able to come before you tonight fully clothed and in my right mind. And my name is Ron. And I'm going to be teaching you tonight on moral, believe it or not. In my sweetest dream, I never believed I would be in front of a group of people ever teaching on the subject of moral. So anyway, we do change. Lesson 7 tonight, moral. I want to say a quick little prayer. Well, the first prayer is just help. Amen. And then we'll do a little more serious one, but I do mean that. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you this evening to be able to come up here and give your message, teach your message. Help me to do that and just stay out of the way and get your message across, what you want to teach, what you want people to hear. But I thank you for that opportunity to do that. And that's awesome. That just shows the power of recovery and the power of you and your steps and your principles and all the things that we learn around here and all the people here. I'm so grateful for the fellowship, and that's through you and because of you. And so just help me to do that tonight. Bless everybody that's here tonight. Hopefully they'll hear something that will impact them. In your precious name I pray tonight. Amen. Okay, moral. Lesson 7 on moral. We're talking about principle 4 and step 4. We'll go ahead and read that together if we can. Okay, principle 4. Openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Happy are the pure in heart. Matthew 5:8. And then step 4. We made a searching, fearless, small inventory of ourselves. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Lamentations 3:40. Tonight we're going to really dig in and begin the growth process of recovery. I wish I could say that you can escape the pain of your past altogether by going around it or jumping over it. But the only way I know to get rid of the pain of your past is to go through it. Tonight really is the first phase of 4 lessons on the inventory that we're going to take. And it's probably one of the key steps to our program. That's why there's so many lessons dedicated to it and the time span to not just rush into this and do it quickly. There's a lot to it, and it takes some thought, and something won't hit you right away. It might hit you later. We'll get into that. But we're just getting started. It's named moral because of the searching and fearless moral inventory, which we'll talk a little bit about also. So we get started with this and 3 more, and then it moves on to the next thing. I want to also talk about this principle versus this step. Principle 4, there's 8 principles and 12 steps. I kind of cut my teeth on the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, which are these same steps that they use here, which are biblical, which are Bible-based. And then CR wrote the 8 principles, kind of condensing a little bit and whatnot. And so the principle here covers a little more territory and says, openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. The part that we're going to be working on that is openly examine my faults. And then the rest of it will come later. But they made 12 steps for alcoholics because we can't get to, you know, we can just get one thing at a time and get that and not get too carried too much in our head, I guess. And that's why step 4 just we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, and that's what we're going to be concentrating on for the next 4 weeks, and we'll delve into that a little deeper here. You may be wondering, how do I do this thing called a moral inventory? In this step, you need to list or inventory all the significant events, good and bad, in your life. You need to be as honest as you can be to allow God to show you your part in each event and how that affected you and others. So I want to read, again, it's zooming in on the fearless and thorough moral inventory. I'll read the definition of moral to you. I had this already set up and I took a whole bunch of stuff in front of it and got it. Okay, here we go. And this is out of the dictionary, and I'm just going to read the first three. There's quite a bit, but number one, moral. Manners or customs. Number one, relating to, dealing with, or capable of making the distinction between right and wrong in conduct. Number two, relating to, serving to teach, or in accordance with the principles of right and wrong. And number three, good or right in conduct or character. So we're talking about our conduct, our character. Often, specifically, virtuous in sexual conduct opposed to immoral. So, I think this should be called our fearless and thorough immoral inventory rather than moral. But anyway, that's the stuff we're trying to dig out. It's to do with right and wrong. Getting into that, we're going to take a deep look at ourselves. We're going to do a deep dive in, and mostly we don't do it. Or when we got saved, maybe we did a kind of a grocery list or a wholesale "forgive me of all my sins" kind of thing. And for some of us, we just need to dig a little deeper, get specific, and get it those forgiven and forgotten and worked on, as we'll explain here. Tonight's acrostic will explain the five things you need to do to make a moral inventory. The M stands for make time. Schedule an appointment with yourself. Set aside a day or weekend and get alone with God. God tells us in Job 33:33, "Listen to me, keep silent, and I will teach you wisdom." So we're going to take some time. We're going to set some time for us to go to the library, to go to a private place somewhere we can be quiet and just be with ourselves and God. And I even can go to like a Starbucks with, if it's busy. Actually, it's better with all that buzzy background white noise, and I actually I don't sort of need that clatter back there to somehow think sometimes. But whatever works for you, but take this seriously. You're going to get as much out of this as you're going to put into it, and as much time as you put into it. And the deeper you look, and the more of this stuff that you can deal with, the better. And so sometimes that just, like I said, it's given it four lessons. It's given it that much time. And so take on your own then the time to be with yourself and to be with God and to pray and to think about this stuff. Get paper and pencil or pen. You're going to be doing some writing. So M, make time. O is for open. You need to open your heart and mind to allow the feelings that the pain of the past has blocked or caused you to deny. Denial may have protected you from your feelings and repressed your pain for a while, but now it has also blocked and prevented your recovery from your hurts, hang-ups, and habits. You need to open up to see the real truth. Here's what Job had to say about being open. Let me express my anguish. Let me be free to speak out of the bitterness of my soul. That's 7:11, Job 7:11. The bitterness of my soul, that really kind of screamed out at me. And so that's the kind of stuff we want to dig into. And it's not always pleasant, and it's not always fun, but things like that would trigger, what am I bitter about? That's one thing. What do I feel negative about? And write it down. Perhaps the following questions will help to wake up your feelings and get you started on your inventory. Ask yourself, what do I feel guilty about? Is a good one. And the first one for a reason. The first thing that came to your mind is what you need to address first in your inventory. So that question, what do I feel guilty about? What comes to your mind is usually probably the reason you came in here in the first place is probably the number one thing that's bugging you, and that's the place to start. It's the obvious. So write that down. Something about writing words down and seeing them. It puts everything succinctly in a place instead of it all floating around up here in a buzz. There's just something about that. And so there's more to this sometimes than meets the eye or what we think might be important. Do you know and understand the God-given purpose of guilt? God uses guilt to correct us through His Spirit when we are wrong. That's called conviction, and conviction can hurt. Now, don't confuse conviction with condemnation. Romans 8:1 tells us there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Once we have made the decision to ask Jesus into our hearts, once we confess our wrongs, accept Christ's perfect forgiveness, and turn from our sins, as far as God is concerned, guilt's purpose to make us feel bad about what we did in the past is finished. It's done. We ask for forgiveness for it. We acknowledge it first. Ask Jesus to forgive us, and He does. I mean, it's that simple. And that's what guilt is there for. That's what the moral, what's right, what's wrong. We all have that inner feeling of what is. It's kind of getting a little skewed in this day and age, I think, about what right and wrong is. But I think we all have a basic idea, God-given. But it's done then. It's taken care of. But we like to hold on to it and beat ourselves over the head repeatedly with it. And I'm first in line. I can ask God to forgive me, but I sometimes have a hard time forgiving myself. For some reason, I have to hold myself up to some standard that God never intended. Sometimes I have to get my thinking straight. My best thinking got me here. So I need to listen to some of this stuff and take heed and do it. But that's one of them. And right there. And that's why to these things that we do, I put we're really the outer act and manifestation of the feelings and thoughts from our heart and mind that got us here, and what we manifested into that. Or I had a thing where I had buried stuff a long time ago, put a nice layer of mud over the top of it, and just let's just let it lay there. Why? Sorry, I don't want to dig all that up and look at it, but if I don't, it's bothering me in ways I don't even know, so it's worth doing. It's worth digging that up and going through the pain or whatever of getting to it and taking care of business. Another big question, the next question you need to ask is, what do I resent? In Alcoholics Anonymous, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous says resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. So resentment's huge. Resentment of people, places, things, my anger, what I feel is unjust. This stuff can just eat your lunch. And it's that important, that's how they looked at that one. So that's a good one to sit and think about and write down. Write it down. Another big question you need to ask is, what are my fears? What am I afraid of? What wakes you up in the middle of the night? Or what doesn't let you get to sleep? When this says searching and fearless moral inventory, the searching is from back, way back when, to now. I try to start at my childhood and work up from there, and just try to remember pains or things I did wrong or that weren't right in all the different areas of my life, and then just jot those down. That's all we're doing now, is getting them thought of, and so we can write them down. What are my fears? Fear prevents us from expressing ourselves honestly and taking an honest moral inventory. Joshua 1:9 tells us, "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for I, the Lord your God, am with you forever, wherever you go." Next on the list of hard questions to ask yourself, am I trapped in self-pity, alibis and or dishonest thinking, larcenous thinking? I was a gambler. I mean, I gambled away amounts of money that make you sick. I mean, that you work so hard and you save, and then in one night, you know, given away. I mean, it's a sick feeling that I laid in bed all week with the covers over my head. I just, well, what's the point of going to work? I just gave away. So what I was trying to get, you know, I'm going to get something for nothing by just playing these cards. I'm going to get all this money, and I just ended up giving. It was just the opposite. I heard that people that like to gamble or think they can get something for free like that have a mentality of poverty, and I don't know. I mean, I don't put all that together, but I feel like it's true, because it sure made me put me in poverty. I'll tell you that. So our larcenous thinking, self pity. I go there. I mean, that's my middle name, and I have to watch that and crawl out of bed and get up and go do what I have to do. These questions are only the beginning of your inventory, but don't get discouraged. The next letter offers a reminder that you don't have to face this task alone. Rely. Rely on Jesus to give you the courage and strength this step requires. Here's a suggestion. When your knees are knocking, it might help to kneel on them. Isaiah 40:29 tells us that Jesus gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. You can do this with his help. Use the power that we have here, and just even our confession of sins when we get saved, if you haven't been through that. Carry around some of this stuff. I think of things at odd times, and I try to carry this. I got this actually from Scott quite a while ago. It's a daily inventory notebook, but it's just something you can carry around in a pencil or a pen. And so when you're working this step, maybe just driving down the road and something triggers a thought of the past, and you think, well, I'll remember that later. But I don't. So if I get can write stuff down like that and then go back to it later. That's another thing. Forgot to say there, but rely on the Jesus. Rely on the people here, CR and whatnot. Before we go any further, I want to remind you that the principles and steps are in order for a reason. Do not start your recovery at step four. Okay, you start at step one, and there's things we've done. If you're new, and this is one of the first lessons we give all of the steps and lessons. A lesson every other week, and then the other week is a testimony. And sometimes you can kind of come in from up here anyway on the middle of that, and that's not where you start. You start in the beginning, step one and principle one, which gets you to this point. I'm not going to get into all that history. I don't have time, but we are actually, at this, it was advertised earlier, starting a step study, which is one great way. These books is what we use in our step study. You can get them in the back there from Scott. There's four books, and the lessons that are given up here are out of these books. And so you can kind of try to do this on your own, but the step study, you work it with other people and a leader, and so it really is effective. So I would say, if you can, join us tomorrow night, 6:30, back here in room 128, just down the hall here. We're going to be open for a couple of more weeks, and so you can get in on, that's a men's step study. I'm not sure where the women are at right now with the step study, but it's a great chance for you to get started on this journey. And get started, number one, we work through, and we'll close down in a couple weeks once we get so far into it. Then again, it's, you're coming in too late to be effective, and you need to wait for the next one or whatever you need to do. But so I would promote that for you right now. Once you know the love and power of the one and only higher power, Jesus Christ, there is no longer any need to fear this principle. Psalms 31, 23, and 24 tells us, "Oh, love the Lord, all of you who are His people, for the Lord protects those who are loyal to Him." So cheer up, take courage if you are depending on the Lord. And remember, courage is not the absence of fear, but the conquering of it. A, the next letter in acrostic is A, which is for analyze, which says you are now ready to analyze your past honestly. To do a searching and fearless inventory, you must step out of your denial, because we cannot put our faults behind us until we face them. So I say here, face them and name them right now. Get that down. That's the point of this step. And we sort of do some more facing of them later. But for right now, let's just get them down. Name them and face them. Or face them and name them. You must look through your denial of the past into the truth of the present. Your true feelings, motives, thoughts. And as in the Star Wars movie, Obi-Wan Kenobi says, your dark side. So that's really what we're, I mean, that's a good way to put it. We're trying to get to our dark side and take a look at that. Bring the light in on that. Proverbs 20:27 says, "The Lord gave us mind and conscience. We cannot hide from ourselves." Believe me, I know. I tried. I ran away to Vegas. I left job, family, place, trying to run from Ron. And lo and behold, I got to Vegas, did all the stuff I thought, you know, that I could do, and I'm still with Ron. Yeah, I can't get rid of the guy. So we can't hide from ourselves, so we might as well jump in. And those are all the wrong answers, but that's where Ron took himself. And my best thinking gets me to the bottom of the snake pit. So I had to learn to humble myself and take some other direction and do these kinds of things and have a life, you know, have a good life, great life. Your inventory, this is kind of the basic L, last one, moral. Your inventory is basically a written list of the events of your past, both good and bad. And I say from your past, move on up to your present. Even it's your life. Both good and bad. Balance is important. Seeing your past in print brings you face to face with the reality of your character defects. Your inventory becomes a black and white discovery of who you truly are way down deep. Lamentations 3:40 tells us, let us examine our ways and test them. The verse doesn't say, just examine your bad, negative ways. You need to honestly focus on the pros and cons of your past. But the main thing here to me is the list right now. The fourth step is just listing these things and not getting too hung up beyond that. Let's just do this job before we then move on to the next one. But so let's face it, name it, and move on to the next one. The list is the key for now. And writing things down. We can't face it, you know. We can't face it if we can't nail it, you know, and figure out what it is. I can't fix something if I don't know what it is. So take the time to get everything you can think of on black and white. And once it's there then. You're not going to forget it. It's not up here in a swirl. It's going to go away. Then we can come back and analyze it and get it forgiven and work on it, break it down. But for now, the job, the next three lessons and the time and to put into this and making time and whatnot is to figure them out, think about them, get them written down. The list. An important word of caution, do not begin this step without a sponsor or a strong accountability partner. You need someone you trust to help keep you balanced during this step. Not to do the work for you. Nobody can do that except you, but you need encouragement from someone who will support your progress and your pain. That's what this program is all about, and that refers back to the R, to rely on some help. You can get help around here. People that have been around here a while, have been through the ropes and have done this, can help you tremendously. You're going to have a lot of questions. You know, some people go too far. Some people don't go far enough in the balancing of the thing. I agree to balance, think of the good to help us. But the thing we're trying to shine the light on here is the bad and work with it and get rid of as much of that as we can. We had a lesson last week on sponsor. Again, and that same lesson is in this book. I think it's the last one of book one. But it's all in the step study guide books back there. But a sponsor, accountability partner, the people that are here that have gone through the deal and can be there to help you. So take advantage of it. Use it. So that's what I got for tonight. I'll say a little prayer here to close out. Dear God, you know our past, all the good and the bad things that we've done. In this principle, we ask that you give us the strength and the courage to list them so that we can come clean and face them and the truth. Please help us reach out to others who you have placed along our road to recovery. Thank you for providing them to help us keep balanced as we do our inventories. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
you're welcome.